Everybody get up. If you can't hear
what I'm trying to say. That song, Blurred Lines, as you've probably heard by now, is going to cost Robin Thicke and Pharrell Williams more than $7 million after a jury in California decided that the song was too similar to Marvin Gaye's classic 1977 hit, Got to Give It Up. The decision has a lot of industry insiders worried about what this means for music and music makers. Mark Goldstein is the former senior vice president of business and legal affairs at Warner Brothers Records. He's now a professor of practice at the University of Southern California's Thornton School of Music. Mark, welcome.
Good to be here.
Well, what were your thoughts when you first heard the verdict for this case?
I was surprised. Copyright with musical compositions is always hard to predict, but this seemed to me to be a case of songs that sounded alike, but the protectable elements weren't, I didn't think, very much infringing. The melody and the lyrics, which are all that can be protected under copyright, are quite different. The feel, there's definitely a similarity, but feel as a copyright issue is not generally protected. So I was surprised, but not completely surprised, because this was a case that was before a jury. And anyone who's been in the business for more than a few minutes knows that juries are very unpredictable. And this jury probably was more familiar with Marvin Gaye than with Thicke or with Pharrell Williams or with the rapper, with any of those people. So I guess I was surprised that it actually happened as it did, but not surprised that it was this case in which it happened.
And, of course, in this case, the jury were specifically asked not to listen to the differences in the songs, but rather to look at the differences in the sheet music.
That's correct. I think this judge was very conscientious about trying to limit the scope of what this case was about to the copyright issues. What's protectable under copyright? You look at the melody, you look at the lyrics. Blurred Lines was, for better or for worse, an incredibly popular song, and even if you didn't buy it, you heard it in malls and things. I don't think the judge could get entirely away from that. But I think maybe even more significant than that was that this was a very sympathetic plaintiff. And anytime you go into a trial with a jury and you're the big company or you're the wealthy defendant, you're rolling the dice. And I think some of that happened here. The attorney for the Gays is a very good attorney, very aggressive in a litigator kind of way, and did a good job, I think, of presenting it as being a case of, you know, young new musicians trying to take advantage of the aura and the being and the work of someone who is a legend. And it's hard for juries not to notice that when you're talking about music.
So the question then is, what does this mean for the industry? And there are so many cases where a song might borrow a little from something or sound a little bit like something, and people are worried that this is going to really set a precedent. I want to listen to two songs from today that sound similar, but so far no legal action has been taken to determine whether or not there is a copyright infringement issue. First here, listen to Katy Perry's Roar. Okay, so that's Roar. This is Brave by Sarah Bareilles. But I wonder what would happen if you say what you want to say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I want to see you be brave. So how are these not considered infringement, and Blurred Lines and Got to Give It Up? That is a problem.
What's very similar to me anyways, and again, if this went to trial, it's up to the jury. It's not up to me, is the feel of the backing tracks on both those songs. It's quite similar, the sort of rhythmic vibe and the way that the song builds, comes to a full stop, and then kicks into the chorus. And none of those things is protectable under copyright. None of those things is the melody, nor is it the lyrics. That's part of the reason why I think that this case won't have as much impact as the parade of horribles might suggest would be the case. These cases normally settle. Even when songs sound alike, and it's hard not to have songs sound alike. You're talking about rock and roll, you're talking about rhythm and blues, you're talking about hip-hop, you're talking about musics that are based on very similar building blocks. The chord changes are similar, the rhythmic patterns are similar, but none of those is protectable under copyright. And I think going forward, what this will do is it will make some producers some guys who put tracks together, maybe a little more cautious about what kinds of vibes they try to use. But the urge to get a hit record and the urge to have a sound that resonates emotionally with people is going to overcome those kinds of concerns, I suspect.
That's Mark Goldstein, former senior vice president of business and legal affairs at Warner Brothers Records. Now he's a professor of practice at the University of Southern California's Thornton School of Music. Mark Goldstein, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
The great Marvin Gaye. I mean Robin Thicke and Pharrell Williams. From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service.
What's left to say? I'm Robin Young. Me up when you pass through. I give you something big enough to tell you to swag on them even when you drag casual.